Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He's worthy of praise.
Yes, he is.
Lord, when she said, thank you for the Holy Spirit. Ooh-wee. We need him. Thank God we have him. Amen.
Yes.
Having said that, let's continue our series on hacking Agag to pieces. Glory be to God. I stole that title from Dr. John F. MacArthur. What a title. Dealing with remaining sins in our flesh. I think that's a beautiful subtitle because, one, it acknowledges that we still have remaining sin. And it answers a lot of questions as why we do the crazy thing we're still doing them, because we've got to deal with sin. There is sin there and it must be dealt with. Amen? Amen. So we asked the question last week and maybe the week before, like, how do we completely remove sin from our lives? How do we completely remove everything that causes us to sin from our lives? We were talking about that. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Glory be to God. Thankful for the saints of God being here on a Wednesday. Thank you, Jesus. Always thankful for the saints of God showing up for the word of God. Thank you, Jesus. It brings me great pleasure in seeing them. Christ sure brings the Lord even more. Romans chapter 8, verse 12. So then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh. So we are under obligation, but it's not to the flesh.
Amen.
Right? We're under obligation to live according to the Spirit. Amen?
Amen?
Not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh, verse 13. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit, capital S, you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Verse 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. A restatement of that verse, verse 14, be direct none of your attention to the cravings of your corrupt nature, how you may provide for their gratification. And I have in brackets next to provide for means to feed your gratification, to prepare for, to finance, to cater to support the gratification of the flesh. And we talked about that. Sister Rolanda had a few questions for me and you know, some examples. You know, we haven't given any earthly examples per se, like specific examples, because the things are, we're saying that overall, however that happens, you must completely remove any and everything that causes you to sin from your life. And that's done progressively over time. There are many scenarios, different types of sin that are plaguing each and every one of you, one of us, and we must do what is necessary to do. So it's kind of a general thing. You know, if you're having a problem with looking at things you ought not to look at, and the instrument through which you look at that is the internet, and the way you get on the internet is either through your phone or a computer, then you need to get rid of the phone, go to a grandpa phone, the old school phone, or grandma phone, you know, and throw the laptop out the window. Those kind of things.
Right.
Completely remove any and everything that causes us to sin. And in its place, we are to store the word up in our hearts in abundance. Because remember, when we're looking at those things, listening to those things, reading those things, that's storing the word up in that's being stored up in our hearts too. So we're sitting around reading this, hearing this, seeing this, that's being stored. So when you get rid of those things, then you have to go ahead and replace it. Because just like when you take a scoop of water, you know, a handful of water out of a, I don't know, out of a basin, immediately it's filled right back up. That hole is filled. So if we don't intentionally fill that hole immediately, once we throw something else out, believe me, something's going to fall in there. We need to dictate what fills the heart and mind of our individual being. Does that make sense? We must do that. And so we're teaching you, there are three things the Lord has said, many more things, but these three, you jump on these three, it'll get you on your way. One, walk in the Spirit. We'll go back over that again. Two, give no place to the devil. Three, do not love the world. One, walk in the Spirit. Two, give no place to the devil. Three, do not love the world. So the question is, how do we be completely removing? Because it's a process. That's why I have it written that way. In other words, how do we consistent and continuously be removing sin from our, any and everything that causes us to sin? If we walk in the Spirit, if we give no place to the devil and love not the world, we are well on our way to removing stuff that causes us to sin. This is still review. One, walk in the Spirit. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. I'm just going to hit it and keep it moving. Galatians chapter 5. And look at verse 16. And again, as you're listening to the word, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you about a specific sin, because you know he's so gracious and kind. He don't give us all of it, thank God. But whatever a specific sin that he may tell you, this is what you need to stop doing to stop feeding that sin. Or this is what you need to start doing so that you're not feeding that sin. He'll give you specific instruction for you as to what you need to do concerning a specific sin or weight that may be going on in your life. But if you follow these three general rules, you'll hear the Spirit. Because the first one is walk in the Spirit, verse 16, Galatians 5. But I say, walk by or in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. That is so good news. Walk your daily conduct, order your daily conduct, your day-to-day living, that which you think, speak, and do, as a force of habit, order that under the control of the Holy Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Went over that. Second, give no place to the devil. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. You know that there are certain people that we may get around that promote unhealthy, ungodly talk. So you know what has to happen. You have to cut them off as the Lord leads. How to, you know, be gracious and kind with it. But realize if they're causing you to sin, then if you this is a challenge to your faith. Do I treasure, value, cherish, count more dear the glory and honor of God than I do the friend who's going to be hurt when I have to tell him, hey, you know, we can't talk anymore? That's a challenge that you're going to have to accept. If this person or persons, including family, is not promoting your walk with the Lord, if it's not causing your daily living to walk worthy of the calling wherewith we have been called, then you need to consider removing them in whatever way that means. See, it's one thing to sing, I want to be more like you. It's nothing to sing, even shaky, that I want to be tried by fire. But it's a whole other thing to walk that out. And I challenge you to think about what needs to be done in your life, what needs to be removed, so that your walk with the Lord is closer. Amen. Be angry, verse 26, Ephesians 4, 26. Be angry, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, your anger. And do not give the devil an opportunity. The phrase do not give. We didn't go over this yet. Okay. The phrase do not give. Here we go again, Greek tense. Greek grammar. Present, meaning it's ongoing. Active, you got to do it. Imperative, command. So what's happening is, although it says, and do not give the devil an opportunity, but because it's present, active, imperative, present, it's ongoing, it's already happening. So it should read, and stop giving the devil an opportunity. So the church at Ephesus, the Ephesian saints, were giving him opportunity to clown. Do not give. Meaning a continuance of an action already going on. We need to check ourselves. So, Lord, is that us? Are we giving the devil an opportunity? And if so, he's telling us to stop giving an opportunity, stop giving place. Opportunity, that word means power. Stop giving him power. Opportunity means a chance, an opening, an occasion for acting. And lastly, the possibility to act. So read like this. And stop giving the devil power. Stop giving the devil a chance. Stop giving the devil an opening. Stop giving the devil an occasion for acting. And stop giving the devil the possibility to act. You know what, dude? This is good news in one sense, because he's saying we're the ones that's giving him this opportunity. Stop doing it. We can't say, well, the devil maybe. No, you allowed it. When he says stop giving, that means it's also, if what's implied is stop allowing. Yeah. We can't say, well, the devil's on my head. But why though? Why? Are we giving him an opening, an occasion for acting? Are we giving him a chance, the possibility to act? Shut it down. And how do you do that? Well, the first way to remove things from your life that cause you to sin is to walk in the Spirit. If you're led by the Spirit, led, influenced, dominated, and controlled moment by moment by moment by moment, well, guess what? You're going to really cut way down Satan's chances to act. Because if the Holy Spirit is leading you, dominating you, influencing you, moment by moment, can you see that?
Yes, sir.
He won't have an opportunity. That takes constant and consistent and continuous effort and perseverance and intentionality and being deliberate. That's why it's a fight. Fight the good fight of Echonizma. Fight the good fight of faith. You know, because of what we've gone through the last almost 5 months, it's safe to say that if your walk with the Lord is just easy and flowery beds of ease, I question if you are really doing what's happening. Not saying you're not saved, but how much effort are you putting forth to walk with the Lord? Because the thing is, if you're putting forth strenuous effort, he's going to come at you, and the Lord is going to allow it, because you are a threat to the kingdom of darkness. But if we're not trying, we're just a marginal Christian. We're saved, but we're content with being marginal, to walk around as mere unchanged men, although we are, have been changed and regenerated for real. Never be satisfied. Please, let's not fall into that malaise of just lazy, non-effort, flesh-ruled. That's what a carnal Christian is. Saved, but they give in to their flesh more than they do the Spirit. Remember, the Spirit is lusting against the flesh, and the flesh is warring against the Spirit. Well, a carnal Christian in their life, the flesh wins more than the Spirit. Why? You're given opportunities. Can't blame God. Can't blame the devil. Please, Lord, shake us that when we are allowing our flesh to rule, that we're just disturbed and shook and not satisfied with satisfying the flesh. Yes. Help us to stop giving place. Stop giving power. Stop giving a chance. Stop giving an opening, an occasion to the devil. So walk in the Spirit. Again, we're on the three things. Three things to how do we be completely removing any and everything that causes us to sin. One, walk in the Spirit. Two, give no place to the devil, no opportunity to act. And number three, we went over this, we'll hit it and quit it. Do not love the world. Stop loving the world. We talked about that word love. It's a fondness, an affection for an object because of its value. An affection for an object because of its value. We value the world. The world is, it's for a few minutes, it's fun. It's bright lights and feel good. And man, you know, we talked about Abraham, the pledge, Moses. He chose not to enjoy the pleasures of sin. For a time. It's pleasurable. That's why it's a temptation. It makes you feel good. I feel good. Hey, and then after the dessert, I remember here's a situation going on, and the young man was advising the other young man, and he said, you only can live off of dessert so long. After a while, you get sick. Sin will take you where you don't want to go, keep you there longer than you're willing to stay, and will cost you more than you're willing to pay. That's sin. That's what it does. It's alluring. Jesus even calls it the deceitfulness of riches. Riches, he personified riches. In other words, he turned it into a person per se. And riches are deceitful. They'll lie to you. Just like the world does. Come over here. We're fun over here. What did Satan tell Eve? Hey, God trying to keep stuff from you. It's still the same thing. It's a lie. We are not to love the world. We're not to be fond of the world. We're talking about the world. We're talking about the world system over which Satan is the ruler and is completely opposed to God. See, it looks good on one hand, but upon closer examination, you find out, wow, this world is completely anti-God. That's why when that George Floyd thing happened, the Lord had us preaching on things like terminology that sounded like regular terminology, but no, let's get a closer look. Look closer at what, if anyone in here is enamored with things and stuff of the world, pray to God that you look closer at it and see the ugly that it really is. We're trying to read it. Let's read it. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John 2. 1 John 2. 1 John 2:15. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Practical truths for daily living, for a daily walk with the Lord. John 2:15. Do not love. Do not be fond of, do not have an affection for, do not value the world, the system over which Satan is a ruler and is completely opposed to God. John 2:15, 1 John 2:15. Nor the things in the world. Not the stuff. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Wow, look at that. For all, this is it, the sum total that is in the world is lust, desires, and lust. Lust and desires of the flesh. Lust and desires, the cravings of what you see. And the boastful pride in gaining those things is not from the Father. Capital F. don't come from God, but it is from the world. So how do we be completely removing any and everything that causes us to sin? Walk in the Spirit, give no place to the devil, and stop loving the world. Make sense thus far? So let's get back to the steps to be killing sin. The steps to be killing sin. Remember all of that. We got our steps. Number one, abstain from fleshly lust. We went over that. We just finished number two. Don't provide the flesh anything to feed on. Starve your sins. Starve your weights. Starve anything that hinders our walk with the Lord. Step three. It's a new one. Step three. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's number three. Abstain from fleshly lust. Two, don't provide the flesh anything to feed on. Three, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in there are multiple things in there. Number one, there were five things. How do we abstain from fleshly lust? Right? Went over those five things. Number two, went over how to be removing things from your life. Don't love the world and so forth. But farther steps to be killing sin is abstain from fleshly lusts and don't provide the flesh anything to feed on. Okay? So number three, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, of course, number four is watch and pray. Number five, and take up the sword of the Spirit. Those are the five steps. We're on number three. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're definitely going to close with this one here because we won't be able to finish this. So let's look back at Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. How do we be killing sin? One, abstain from, walk away from, abandon, leave, desert, fleshly lusts. Two, never feed those lusts. Three, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 13, 14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. I think we all know about how loud flesh can scream. How vociferous and even violently flesh can demand. And how pronounced the cravings of the flesh can become. They get louder. It's just, and if we don't, we, using the power of the Holy Ghost, we got to quiet that. Because if we don't, those demands will get louder, the cries will get louder, the screams will get louder. Feed me, I want this. I don't care nothing about God, and the flesh doesn't. Why? Because it's unredeemed. We got to keep reminding ourselves. It's unredeemed. It's unregenerated. That's why, because the flesh is still in our being. But although we are born again and regenerated, if we give in to the flesh, then we're capable, just like any sinner, of doing anything. Anything at any time. And we need to keep hearing that is what resides inside of us. That's why Apostle Paul said, I have to buffet my body, bruise it, beat it black and blue, make it my slave. I got to do all of that, 1 Corinthians 9:27. Lest when I myself have preached to others, and I've let the flesh get in charge, he said, then I should become disqualified. And I got to get out the pulpit and stay out. A disqualification means you're done. It's amazing how many pastors don't seem to understand that. You commit that sin that is a gross, heinous sin that damages your witness, you've been disqualified. You can still be in the congregation. You're still a child of God. You're still a shepherd, a sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you've been disqualified from leading the flock. Because you allow flesh to rule and reign. Even if it's just for 1 second. Don't take no but a minute. A second. And that beast The dark guest within is lurking at all times. Verse 14, Romans 13, 14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh in this regard to its lust. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. From the Barr's commentary, it has, quote, "To put on the Lord Jesus Christ means to imitate his example." To put on the Lord Jesus Christ, imitate, copy, follow his example. To copy his principles. To take him as a pattern and guide, right? A model. Take him as a pattern and a guide. To obey his precepts. Ultimately, to do all of that, ultimately, to become like him. I'm going to repeat that. To put on the Lord Jesus Christ means to imitate his example, to copy his principles, to take him as a pattern and guide. That's why we should study the life of Jesus, study his word, study how we act. Notice we stay in the word. We want to follow that. Take him as a pattern and guide to obey his precepts, ultimately to become like him. I want to be more like you. Imitate his example, copy his principles, take him as a pattern and guide, obey his precepts, ultimately to become like him. Look at Romans 13. You're there, right? Look at verse 13. Go back up one, the verse 13. Do I need to repeat that for anyone? And again, these notes will be on the website too. Look back at verse 13. I want to show you something. Verse 13 says, "Let us behave properly as in the day." Meaning in the day means, or in open light, as if all of our actions are seen and known. Right? Let us live as if there's a big spotlight, which it is, because God is always watching. So let us behave properly as in the day. Let us do what is fit to be exposed to the light of day. You know, people do things that, remember the freaks come out at?
Night.
Yeah. Even when it's night for us, it's still day. Why? Because we're exposed, right? Hebrews 4:13, let's write it down, says, "And there is no creature hidden from his sight." 4:13. You know what? Turn there right quick. So keep a marker where you are now. And let's turn over there. Then we'll go back to Romans 13:13. Hebrews 4:13. I love the word of God. And we're about opinions, and I believe this, and I just think this, and furthermore, no. Go to the word. Hebrews 4:13. Remember talking about, let us behave properly in the day. Let us live and do what's fit to be done as exposed to the light. Hebrews 4:13. "And there is no creature hidden from," capital H, "his sight." You see that? "But all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him," capital H, "with whom we have to do." Can you see nothing is hidden? God sees all the time. Do you see that? All things are open and laid bare. I think King James says open and naked to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. We cannot hide. What did David say? "If I make my bed in hell amongst the dead, Sheol, you're there." Yeah. Go back to Romans 13, please. Romans 13:13. "So then, as a result of that, let us behave properly as in the day," or in the open light. "Not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but," verse 14, "put on the Lord Jesus Christ." See, Jesus was unlike any of that. He wasn't carousing. He wasn't in sexual promiscuity and sensuality. He wasn't in strife and jealousy. Instead, when we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to put on his temperament. him being chaste, pure, peaceable, meek. And to put him on is to imitate him in all of those respects. In his temperament, in his chastity, in his purity, in it being peaceable, and in his meekness. I want to copy those things. Someone once wrote, when the Christian puts on Christ, he clothes his soul in the moral disposition and habits of Christ. It's like you're putting on clothes. He clothes his soul in the moral disposition, meaning how Jesus carried himself, how he thought, how he acted, how he behaved on a daily basis, and his habits. Listen to this one. So you're talking about putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone wrote, the more constant, consistent, and continuously we perform righteous, holy, and just and honorable acts, the more we perform holy, righteous, honorable, and just acts, we are putting on the Lord Jesus Christ more fully. So every time we perform an act that's honorable, that's righteous, that's just, every time we're putting on the Lord Jesus Christ more fully. Why? We're imitating him. We're copying him. We're becoming more like him. And by the way, conversely, the truth is, when we don't obey the Lord, we're not imitating him. We're not copying him. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All these will be in on the web. I'm not giving you a lot of notes on it, but it's a powerful thing to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's another way of looking at it. To put on Christ means to pursue, chase, hound, work at, follow after Christ likeness with extreme effort and strenuous zeal until our moral nature is more like his, until our character is more like his, until our temperament is more like his, and until our habits conform more and more toward his habits. To follow, to put on Christ means to pursue, chase, hound, work at, follow after Christ-likeness. So notice all those words. So it's not just a casual going out. I mean, you're pursuing, you're chasing, you're hounding, you're working at. You're following after Christ-likeness with extreme effort and strenuous zeal. Father, help us to get to that point. Not casually. Having a good day on Tuesday and a horrible day on Wednesday because I just had a me day. I didn't sleep good. I got problems going on in my mind and my heart. We push through those human cycles and mental situations. We push through that, giving all of that under the guidance of the Holy Ghost. So we hound, chase after, work at, follow after Christ's likeness with extreme effort and strenuous zeal. What's the reason? Until our moral nature is more like his. Until our character is more like his character. Until our temperament is more like his temperament. And until our habits become more like his habits. That's why we're here. That's why we're saved. To be conformed to the image of his dear son. Yeah. And by the way, that's sanctification. That process, that's the process. Yeah. I have here, as the process of sanctification progresses, and it is progressive, the Lord's character becomes more and more our own character. Thank you, Jesus. So the result of the fire, the result of wanting to be more like him, or the result of the fire, rather, is that we want to be more like him. Well, that's what will happen. Sanctification, as it progresses, the Lord's character becomes more and more our own character. Meaning we think, speak, and do more like Jesus. And less of our own. So when we are attacked, or when we are harassed, or when we are disrespected, or whatever it may be, we don't respond like us. We respond more and more like him. Amen. Somebody ought to say, thank you, Jesus. Because that day is coming. That's good news. Am I right, Ms. Palmer? That's good news. We're not going to always be. We're going to get better. If you are working at it with strenuous zeal and what kind of effort I say? Extreme effort. You're deliberate, consistent, persevering. You're going to become more like him. But believe me, it's not going to happen overnight. How many, what's the most miles you ran, Trent Duane, in your life? 26.2 miles. You think he got there, just woke up one day, started running 26.2 miles? Seriously, think about that. Think about that. That is a lot of training. Trent Duane, is the training not strenuous to get to that point?
Yes, it is.
Very strenuous. Oh, God, help us right now. Here's the example. That's perfect. 26.2 miles. You don't become like Christ with just, you don't ever get, even in the natural, you don't get to that unless there's extreme effort and strenuous zeal to get there. Amen. Hallelujah. How much more to become like Christ Jesus? Hallelujah. Comfort is too much of a god. I'm guilty too. Comfort, our comfort is a god that we put before God. I'm guilty too. Extreme effort and strenuous zeal. And you do it until our moral nature is more like his, our character is more like his, our temperament more like his, and our habits become more like his. Mm-hmm. Until we become more and more like Christ. Our character looks more like his. So that when they have seen us, they've seen the Father. Just like Jesus told Philip. Amen. We'll stop. One more. This is what Paul, listen to this. This is what Apostle Paul had in mind. I know you know this verse. When he said he had one thing to do, and that was to pursue the goal of Christ-likeness. And that would be the prize. So let's go to Philippians 3 and we're done. Philippians chapter 3. Hallelujah. Feel my help, y'all. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We got work to do. We got work to do. But the good news is, though, we have the... Come, huh? We are equipped. We got the power. We have the tools. Thank you, Jesus. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Philippians 3 and 12 through 14. So Apostle Paul is talking about. Verse 12. Not that I have already obtained it, Christ-likeness, perfection, or have already become perfect, but I press on, as that word. See, that's strenuous zeal, effort. I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. What is the that? The that is the reason or the purpose that Christ Jesus laid hold of the Apostle Paul and laid hold of you and I. Well, what is that reason for that? Keep a marker there. Let's slide over to Romans chapter 8, and we'll come back. Romans 8, verse 29. What is the that Christ Jesus laid hold of Apostle Paul or laid hold of us? Verse 29, Romans 8, 29. You there? For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined, here it is, to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. Why did Jesus lay hold of the Apostle Paul? Why did Jesus lay hold of every one of us in here? So that ultimately we would be conformed to the image of his son. Go back. Philippians chapter 3. Please. Verse 12. Let's go back. So you see that. Let's read it again. Apostle Paul speaking to the church of Philippi. Not that I have already obtained it, Christ-likeness, or have already become perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Why did Christ Jesus lay hold of the Apostle Paul? Why did he lay hold of us? Until we are conformed to the image of his Son. Verse 13. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, right? Christ-likeness. But one thing, you see that? One thing I do. Now, I do is added by the translators. In the Greek, in the original Greek autograph, it just says, one thing. Forget it, live now. One thing. Meaning, my single, solitary focus and purpose. My only aim is to forget what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, which is Christ-likeness. There's a lot in there. We'll unpack this next week. We'll unpack this next week. Apostle Paul, look at the one thing I do. One thing. Lord, help us, Father God, help us to get to that one thing. Help us to let that be our single solitary focus. Our only purpose, our only aim is the goal and the prize. Because the prize is the goal and the goal is the prize of Christ's likeness. To be conformed to the image of your dear Son, so that our character looks more and more like his. And this will we do, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.